well as in my personal life. But I was coaching a client on Saturday, and I was able to be fully present even when she said what you said hurt in my feelings. And then I didn't take it personally, but I said, you know, what I'm saying is really not hurting your feelings. It's unresolved issues from your past, and would you like to go deeper with that? And so we were actually able to deal with some unresolved issues in her life. And by the end, she was able to pray for people. And the prayer was so profound because not only did she pray for people, but she would identify the age, she would identify the person, and then she would identify what they had sexually done to her.
Wow.
And so, and that was all about me not taking it personally, not shutting down, not apologizing it, but it lets her take ownership of it.
See how that's so beautiful, because you, by practicing these four agreements, you unlocked your potential as a coach. And so you were able to truly coach, not at the surface, much, much deeper level. And you unlocked that latent potential in her, because you've always heard, you know, the issue's not really the issue. And yet we get caught up circling around on the surface of what this issue appears to be. And we're not dealing with the issue of the heart. So there's no healing and breakthrough that truly begins to happen. So congratulations. How much better of a coach that makes you, and how much more powerful each of the people that are getting that breakthrough. Congratulations. That blesses me to hear that story. That's why I like to open up a few minutes as people are getting on the line and hear those stories, because this stuff works and it makes such a difference. And so much of the frustration and the lack of breakthrough and the lack of success is just simply these things, just breaking these old mindsets and these old agreements and stepping into the full potential that God has for us. So thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Anything that this is, you've just really seen a change over these last few weeks that we've been covering these four agreements? All right. Well, I know when Christine gets on the line, she's got a great story, but she's not on yet, so she's got little kids. She must be doing the juggling mommy stuff this morning, so I'll catch her when she gets back on. So I'm going to go ahead and get started and push record. Let me just set up my equipment right here, and here we go. Okay. Ben, welcome. By the way, welcome to Bible-based spiritual equipping. And we have been doing a series on the four agreements. Now, it's a takeoff from the book or the audio series by Don Miguel Ruiz. And powerful. If you have not read the four agreements, I encourage you to go do that. It'll just add depth to what we're adding with the biblical perspective here. So I encourage you, and I like actually even listening even better. I caught times over the past couple years, but listening to it, I just listened to it on a trip again this weekend, and listening to it, I just go, wow, I didn't hear that. So it gets to get in deeper and deeper, and I'm right there applying it with you. So the four agreements, this series is called The Four Agreements, A Biblical Perspective to Discovering the Secret to Transformation. That's what we're really talking about. That's the bottom line, is the transformation that can occur in your life to allow you to truly live, the abundant life, to truly live the free life, to truly live the fulfilled, peace-filled life. It takes breaking these agreements that we may or may not even realize that have been going on. I know for me, a lot of the ones that I broke, I didn't even realize until after the fact that they were in my subconscious, they were holding me back, and it wasn't until I got breakthrough that I went, wow. This crosses over every area of our life. So this has to do, you've made agreements when it comes to your finances. You've made agreements. I know I made agreements when it came to finances, when I saw the pain and the craziness in the family I was raised in. I saw that the pain and the craziness, I'm going to close the door because the cat's meowing, and I made a decision. I linked it in my 8-year-old mind that I didn't want anything to do with money. And you don't even realize I would not discover that agreement for another 20 years. And once I got freedom from that, it totally changed my ability to earn income. Well, we make agreements about how we feel about the opposite sex, how we feel about marriage, all of those things. We are, you know, constantly making these agreements in our awareness and outside of our awareness. But this is affecting every area of our life. And so stuck in an area. If you're just finding that you keep repeating bad choices, or you keep not being able to get breakthrough in certain areas, there's a really good chance that there's an agreement that you've made out of self-protection. And in making that agreement and not even knowing that you've made it, you've created this resistance. And today we're going to be talking about resistance. We're going to be talking about allowing, and we're going to be talking... Okay, I can hear you guys, so put it on mute if you could. You're going to see that part of these agreements... Okay, can I ask that you guys put your phones, *6 or on mute, because it is being recorded. I can hear you talking. All the background noise I can hear, please, if you could put it on mute. Thank you. Either *6 or mute on your own phone. Either one will work. Thank you. Have you all on the line. So let's begin with prayer as we just really go a little deeper with all of this. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some of these things and to remind us. Part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of some of these things that we've forgotten. So, Father, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you just come and that, like Paul prayed, that the eyes of our heart, that are the ears, when Jesus said, you don't hear, you have eyes but you don't see. Father, we're asking that, Holy Spirit, you open our spiritual senses in such a way that we can see, hear, feel, not just with our natural senses, but with our spiritual senses. And that we can get a depth of understanding to truly renew our minds, make new our minds, and experience transformation to truly live the abundant life that you promised. So today, I'm asking that you will bring to remembrance some of these things that maybe we haven't thought about for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of little subtle self-protection agreements that we've made that now no longer serve us. And we can be willing to think about our thinking and release that thinking, release those belief systems that no longer serve us. Give us the courage to face them boldly, and give us the courage to step into the freedom and the joy and the abundance that you've called us to. I ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are plowing through here, the four agreements. We're already on week 6. I'm always amazed how fast these weeks go. And our key verse that we have been repeating each week, I like to have, you know, one or two just key verses that just sum it all up. So for those of you, we got a number of you that are brand new this week. The key verse has been Romans 12, particularly Romans 12:3. And the idea here is, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after, adapted to its external superficial customs. So right now, a lot of the, what's going on out there, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of hopelessness, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of customs that are no longer us. And that's the key. The key is looking at what customs, what belief systems, what thinking that we're having, and be willing to look at it, and then be willing to ask some hard questions. We talked last week about some hard questions. First of all, just because you're thinking doesn't make it true. And so to be willing to say, is this true? And Katie Byron's questions, is this true? And can I absolutely? And half of the belief systems that you have, you'll have to come to the conclusion, you know, I don't actually even know if it's true, come to think of it. So then you get to the place, all right, I'm holding on to this thing that I don't even know is true or not true. And then I get to the question, what would happen if I let go of this thought? What would happen if I no longer held this belief system? And very often the answer that comes up is a whole lot of stress. I'd let go a whole lot of anxiety. I'd let go a whole lot of frustration if I wasn't holding that thought anymore. I'd let go a whole lot of self-sabotage and self-defeating behavior if I wasn't holding on to that call anymore. And so then you're going, well, okay, it's not serving me. I don't even know if it's true. And if I let it go, I'd be better off. And then it takes the courage to say, you know what? I think at this time, I'm going to choose no longer to hold on to that thought. So the whole concept here of being transformed, it says, do not be conformed, but rather than being conformed, rather than being in that jello mold of how people, all the people that hooked your attention all your life that this book talks about, rather than being conformed, that's your mold, that's what you're shaped to, instead it has but, and I always circle but when it's there to see what the contrast is, but be transformed. Transformed, and it says change. The amplified version of the Bible says changed by the entire renewal of your mind, so that you can prove and know what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God. So you want to know, I get so many people say, I just want to know the will of God for my life. Well, the first will of God for your life is for you to walk in freedom from some of these sins, in a different definition of sin, self-inflicted nonsense. Letting go of those, you'll begin to see the perfect will of God for your life. So it's not being conformed, but being transformed. And the way that you're doing that is by renewing your mind. Think about that word, renew. Re means to do again. So you're going back and doing this thing again. Anytime you see re in front of a word, it means to do again. So you're doing something again. What are you doing? New. Your mind. You're making your mind brand new. You're making it a clean slate. That is, you're choosing not to base what you do today and how you experience today. You're choosing not to do that based on the past. See, very few people think about their thinking, and they think that they are thinking, and they're not really thinking, they're remembering. They're simply rehashing the past. That's not thinking, and that's not creating, and that's not living in the now, and it's not experiencing your richest potential that is right here, right now. If you remember last week, I gave you a visual of a bandit coming up to you. Just think of an old cowboy, you know, cartoon that you used to see when you were little. And you got a bandit coming up to you, you know, and you've got, they got the scarf across their face, and they're holding a gun, and they got the cowboy hat, and they say, put them up. Give me everything. And you think it's just money, so you hand your money over. But, no, I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your future. Let me just rob everything of you, your fulfillment, your passion, your living, I want it all. Put it all out here. And who is this bandit that is stealing from our present, the present that God gives us, the gift that God gives us, which is this moment? What is it that's stealing from this moment, you experiencing your fullest potential? Well, it's exactly what we're talking about. It's these four agreements. It is going back in the past and remembering and dealing with guilt or shame or regret or wishing or the good old days or however you're looking at the past, allowing that to enter into your future so that you're not experiencing the future, you're simply reliving the past. Or you're borrowing from the future, and Jesus talked about both of these, or you're borrowing from the future. Jesus said, don't borrow troubles from tomorrow. Today has enough troubles of its own. Why? Because you go in the future and now you've got fear, false evidence appearing real, and you're bringing that into the present and you're experiencing, you're bringing something that is not yet, that hasn't come, and there's a high, high chance it's never going to come. So you're borrowing fear from the future and bringing it now. That's that bandit that's stealing the joy that you could be experiencing right now. And I gave some examples of how we do that. We can get so lost in that fear, anxiety, regret, whatever your drug of choice is, you know. And I gave the example of sitting down to a nice meal. And this thing's been finely prepared by the finest chef, and it's in a beautiful ambience, and there's, you know, or maybe it's just a loved one that's prepared it for you, and this thing is beautiful, and all of a sudden you realize you've eaten the whole thing, and you never detected all the fine seasonings and all the different flavors. You never enjoyed the meal because your head was just spinning. In fact, you weren't even aware that you were eating the meal. How many of you have done that? How many of you have wolfed through a meal and don't realize you ate the whole thing till afterwards? Or maybe it was a bag of chips, okay, or a thing of Oreos or something. How many of you have just eaten a whole thing completely unaware, completely unconscious, completely out of awareness? Any of you done that? I'm giving a real life food example because it's such a vivid example of what we do with our life, how we're missing every moment. And I think that's why so many people that go through a near-death experience or get some something from the doctor that you got cancer or you got 3 months to live or whatever, you know, they get some decree that way. It's the first time they start living because they realize this is all they have and they're not going to live it and regret it, and they're not going to live it in the future because they know the future's not coming in their mind. And so what happens is they finally start living and they just make a decision. I'm going to be with the people and enjoy the people I want to be with. I'm going to do what I love and I'm not going to do those things that I don't love. And I'm going to enjoy the things. You understand? It pulls us into the present. If you've read or listened to the book by Napoleon Hill that, was only recently released to the general public because it's so powerful that the whole family and organization, the foundation, didn't want it released because they thought it would cause so much repercussions, and it's called Outwitting the Devil. And in Outwitting the Devil, he has this conversation, Napoleon Hill has this conversation with the devil and forces the devil to reveal all of his tricks that take out God's people. And one of the tricks that the devil reveals is this idea of hypnotic rhythm. Hypnotic rhythm. If he can get us unconscious, not staying in the present, not renewing our mind, not breaking these agreements, but instead just gets us in a hypnotic rhythm where we're just mindlessly going through life without thinking, without tying in everything we do with our purpose, without tying everything with our vision, without being deliberate. In other words, we're creating our life not by design, but by default. If he can get us just going through life, hypnotic rhythm, the other one that goes along with that, that he talks about is, maybe some of you can help me out. What's the word? But basically, you're just mindlessly going through life, kind of on cruise control. And so we get on this cruise control, just kind of just flowing through. And so what happens? You go through your education because that's what everyone told you to do, but you're not enjoying it and you're not extracting every good thing from it. You're just chewing up, regurgitating what you need to get an A on the paper. You take the first job because it was there and it produces good money, and pretty soon you're in a profession that you didn't really deliberately choose and you're finding you don't enjoy it. The majority of the people I coach do not enjoy what they're doing. What a tragedy to spend, huh? Risking, not risking. Yeah, they're not. And so they get in this hypnotic rhythm where they're not thinking about their thinking and they're just doing without even thinking about it. So the opposite of this that we're talking about is being transformed by renewing. It's time to think about your thinking. I was talking to a young person and coaching him this past week, and it's like, you need to learn to think about your thinking. You need to control your thoughts, not your thoughts just controlling you and taking you. And so we went through this whole idea and we covered it as we think about our thinking. And so we began to realize that part of it is we've made these thousands of tiny little small agreements, and probably too many to try to dissect and find them all and dig them up, and most of them are not in our awareness. So the answer, the simpler answer, is to make 4 new agreements. And when we make these 4 new agreements, it breaks all of those thousands of previous agreements. That's breakthrough. Because when you start breaking these, you'll experience whole new heights in your relationships, in your health. You will let go of things and suddenly you will not need that weight anymore. That extra weight or waste, as we're going to be teaching this Friday on the God, Health, and Me Discovery, that extra is part of those agreements. You made an agreement that somehow that protected you, or you made an agreement that somehow you weren't worthy, or you made an agreement, whatever. So we're breaking those agreements by 4 new agreements. And the first of those agreements was be impeccable with your word. Remember, impeccable, you always, when you get a word, look it up. Get in a new habit. Nice that, you know, when you're reading things on Kindle or you're using iPad and things, nowadays the dictionary is right there at your hands. Start relearning words. Start looking back what they're original, especially if you can get to the Latin or Greek origin of words. Start doing that. You'll have a whole new vocabulary and you'll begin to release some words out of your vocabulary when you're talking about be impeccable with your word. For example, there's words you're holding on to that you probably don't know the meaning. Want is one of the words that I'm still working to completely remove from my vocabulary. Say, I want this, I want that, I want this, I want. That's not being impeccable from your word, because want means extreme lack. That's why David was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means lack. And so if you are in the habit of saying, I just want, or I only want, and you're in the habit of saying want all day, you're saying lack. You're not being impeccable with your word, because you are actually hurting yourself with the words that you're holding on to. So begin to study words. I got a revelation not long ago about the word nice. I used to always say things like, I'm playing nice, or I just want to be nice, or I'm a nice girl. And someone called me on it and said, I don't think you really want to be nice. Look it up. And you get past the surface, you know, the way we use it now, and you get back to the origin of the word. And if you haven't looked up nice and the origin of the word, you'll make a decision. You probably don't want to be nice. So it's funny how we do it that way. But the word impeccable, when you look at what it means, im means not, and pkar means sin. So impeccable means you're not sinning with your word. You're not using your word to sin. Well, there's obvious things, you know, using your word to sin by lying, or using your word to sin by, you know, murdering someone with your words or whatever. But this one just kind of goes a little deeper and says, be impeccable with your word. So to do that, to be impeccable with your word, it talks about not using your word against yourself, not violating yourself. This becomes a general principle of not violating yourself. You know, I was riding in the car with a friend of my brother's, and he was really wrestling because he was separated from his wife, and he still had hopes of getting back with his wife, and he still loved his wife, and he had kids, and his heart was there, and this young thing was like hitting on him and asking him out. And she kept calling him, and she was asking him to go to the movies. And he said, you know, it's tempting. I mean, she just keeps telling me, I want to go to the movies with you. Let's go see a movie. And he said, what do you think I should do? And I said, don't violate yourself. And he goes, what do you mean? I never thought about it that way. Don't violate yourself. You already told me what you desire. and what your heart is telling you. See, we're so not in the habit of listening to our heart. The truth is there if we'll look. So he knew the answer to that by looking at his emotions, looking at how he felt about the situation, looking at the uncomfort. When you have uncomfort in your emotions, that's your early detection system. That's your guidance system. Don't ignore that. Pay attention to that. So he already knew. I said, don't violate yourself. And he said, I never thought about it that way. You've heard the saying, I don't know, is it Shakespeare? You guys can help me. To thine own self be true. I mean, to your real self. To thine own self. How many times with your word are you violating yourself? Are you not being impeccable? Are you agreeing to something? Your mouth is agreeing to something that your heart is not in agreement. You get yourself doing things, saying things, thinking things. Any of you ever get in a situation where you're not impeccable with your word? In other words, your word is getting you into something that does not line up. You are violating yourself. Can any of you, as I'm sharing the story, because if you jump in on this conversation, it makes it rich for everybody. Can you think of a time that you were not impeccable with your word? You sinned against yourself with your word. You violated yourself. Did you reject yourself with your word? Did you criticize yourself with your word? Did you agree to something that you really didn't desire to agree with your word? Did you say something that you didn't really mean because you wanted to get attention or you were using it to manipulation? Can you think of ways that you were not impeccable with your word that now you could begin to break those agreements? Can you think of any examples? I want to pause right there and let that go deep. Scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's part of being impeccable with your word. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's part of being impeccable. Can you think of some examples to really drive this home on being impeccable with your word?
I think one thing that I'm being more aware of is my own self-talk. Yeah. And as a coach, sometimes that I know certain things are not necessarily correct, so I reframe them in something else that sounds better in my head, but those are still little criticism or little things in my head that are keeping me out of being impeccable. And they are things that I know are not correct, but they're more subtle.
Good.
So watching those little things.
Good. Good. That's renewing your mind and thinking about your thinking. That's great, Candace. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Oh, it's important that we don't plow through this meal of this great teaching and don't not stop and just be present and just let the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you to pray that. Holy Spirit, are there places in my life right now where I'm not being impeccable with my word, where I'm using my word to violate myself, sin against myself? Is it self-criticism? Is it self-rejection? Is it self-condemnation? Is it self-denial? Is it self not being willing to trust your heart, not being willing to trust your intuition? That was a big one for me. Can you think of ways that you are sinning against yourself, that you're not being impeccable with your word? Or on the other side, ways that you're just getting victory and being impeccable with your word. Can you think of some examples? Go ahead. We've got two. Whoever wants to go first. I'm excited. Thank you for sharing.
Okay. My hula group performed this weekend. And I had a friend tell me, wish me good luck, but she phrased it in such a way, she said, go break a leg.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent, Cindy. Thanks for sharing that. That's an example of being conformed to the world as opposed to transformed, because there are certain sayings that, like she said, well, that's just a saying. So that's called what I'm talking about of I know the word I was trying to think of from outwitting the devil is drifting. And so we get in this habit. One of the ways that the devil takes us out of our purpose and our vision is we get in this habit of drifting. And within that drifting, there's this hypnotic rhythm. And it's a powerful concept when you think about it, because in order to get change, what we're talking about, renewing the mind, we have to break that hypnotic rhythm and break that habit of drifting, and we have to get back into a place of deliberate choosing and a place of building our life by design and not by default. And that would be an example. Well, everybody just does that. You know, how many of your kids say that? Well, all my friends, you talk about drifting and hypnotic rhythm and what we're talking about right here. Well, all my friends are doing it. And, you know, we always, what do we say? Because I can tell you how much you are still conformed. Your kids say, well, all my friends are doing it. Johnny's doing it. Johnny down the street. And how many of your parents said this? And how many of you said this? Well, if Johnny jumps off a cliff, are you going to too? How many of you knew that saying, what I was going to say already before I even said it? Really? My parents are the only ones that said that? Okay, bridge, cliff, whatever. But do you see how we take on these sayings? You know, you say, well, I really want to do this. Well, how are you going to pay for that? Money doesn't grow on trees. So there's these words that we're saying and often still repeating it. And so congratulations, Cindy, you're being impeccable with your word. And that includes not just the words that you're speaking to yourself, but the words that you're receiving. Now, sometimes you'll have the opportunity to say to that person, and you get them thinking like you did, I don't receive that, or, you know, I want to maybe reframe that or whatever. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes stuff is spoken for you or to you that it's not the time or the place, and you have to just do that within yourself and say, I don't receive that. I choose a different reality. For example, how many people, when you're doing it and you got a family member and you're telling them you're going to start a business, and they say, you just need to be realistic. You just need to be realistic. Well, inside, yes, I do. I'm choosing a different reality. I'm choosing a higher reality. So do you see these words, just learning to be impeccable, both in the words that we're receiving from the outside and the ones that we're speaking? So that's the first agreement, and it's a hard one, and it's a nonstop really getting to the place that you are always thinking about what you're speaking. So you're not only thinking about what you're thinking, but you're thinking about what you're speaking. Here's another thing, just understanding the brain, and then I'll move on from being impeccable with your word. I was talking to a young person, and he said, I just want to stay out of jail. And I had to teach him how the brain processes. The brain does not process negative. That's why if you tell a kid, don't spill the milk, the brain has to imagine spilling the milk to come to the conclusion to attempt not to spill the milk. And 9 times out of 10, you keep telling a kid, don't spill that milk, don't spill that milk. The kid will spill it. And then you'll be saying, I told you not to spill that milk. You weren't listening to me. No, you were planting the seed of a visual image of spilling the milk, and were a huge part by not being impeccable with your word of causing that milk to be spilled. And we do this in our life by negative all the time. It's so much easier to focus on what we don't desire. This is why in coaching, to get people to move from what they don't desire to what they do desire. And so that's part of being impeccable with our word also, is to speak in positive present tense when you're speaking. That's part of it. Now, there was two people that wanted to speak. Was there a second person that had something to say about impeccable with your word before I go on? I'd love to hear it. Yeah.
Real quickly, what I've noticed, because I've been listening to the God Money and Me home study, is that even though I don't verbally say something, my action says it.
Okay.
So really being honest with what's really going on and making sure my actions line up with my words. And for instance, I've often said, well, I can't afford to do it now, which in reality, I felt like I hadn't earned it and I hadn't worked. worked hard enough, or I felt like I could only spend within this amount based off other things that was going on in my life. And so I've just been really careful making sure, like, what are my actions then? What am I living out? What agreements are being manifested in my life because of what I believe? And though I'm not saying it, my actions is telling what I believe, and it's saying it for me. So I've just kind of been slowing down and just really present to the decisions, the choices, and what's really behind it, driving me to it.
I love that. That's so powerful. Thank you for being willing to do all of this work. And even like what you're doing, I mean, you've attended the God Money and Me a couple times live, but allowing the home study course where you can be listening over and over and letting this new thinking, part of being transformed by the renewing of our mind, is we have to be putting new stuff in. And I know in my travel, I've been listening to Outwitting the Devil, and I've been listening to this, the Four Agreement, and it's just like it has to go in and in. And there has to be a whole new thinking pattern, a whole new way of looking at things, whole new level of awareness. And I see that happening for you as your awareness is increasing. You're making different choices, different words, different thoughts, and you're getting different results. And it's why you had your first $10,000 month. I mean, it's powerful. As this changes, I'm telling you, it affects everything, your relationships. I know you're getting open to whole different levels of relationships in your life and opening yourself to that and not letting past pain keep you all hidden. And you'll begin to make different choices about the foods you put in your body and about exercise, about loving yourself, about loving others. I mean, all areas of our life are part of this. So that's the first of the agreements. The second is don't take anything personally. Man, this is a constant for me, paying attention to this constant. It's so easy, especially if you're the intuitive type, if you're a feeler. And if you're a feeler, you know what I'm talking about. You can walk in a room and you can feel the temperature in the room. And I'm not talking about the heat temperature. You can feel. You can walk in and know when a couple's already fought. You can walk in and know when someone's stressed out. They don't have to say a word. You can, one glance, you're a feeler. You feel what's in the room, okay? If you're one, you know what I'm talking about. How many feelers do we have on the line? Do we have any of you?
Oh, yeah, Brenda.
So as a feeler, this becomes really important. And the second agreement is don't take anything personal. Don't take anything personally. This is big because you will assume the way someone's treating you, or the way something they said, or the way they're acting, or the way they're not acting, or the way things transpired. And you will assume that that is about you, which then allows you to take offense that we talked about. So in the book, Dawn talks about don't take anything personal. It comes out of this belief system. It comes, when you take things personally, it comes out of wrong thinking. I can tell you right now, when you take things personally, you have wrong thinking. You have not renewed your mind in this area. And the wrong thinking, the false thinking, is personal importance. In other words, in order to take something personally, you have to subscribe to the belief that what is going on is about you. He says in the book, personal importance, or taking things personally, is the maximum expression of selfishness, because we make the assumption, which is, of course, the third agreement, don't make assumptions. So they go together, taking things personally and making the assumption. In order to take things personally, you make the assumption that everything is about me. But the truth, when you say, is this true? Is this really true? Can I know it's true? Can I be absolutely sure that what this person is doing is because of me and what I did has anything at all to do with me? Nothing, he says, other people do is because of you. It's because of themselves. And when you get this whole idea that all people live in their own dream, in their own mind, that all people are, have a movie going on in their head. If you're a visual person, they've got a movie. They are their own director. They're creating their own reality, and there's a movie playing all the time in their head. Or if you're more of the reading or writing, you can imagine they're writing a book in their head. They are daily subscribing and writing this book, but it's their book. It's not your book. And they're in a completely different world than the one you're living in. And if you take it personally, you make the assumption that they know our world and that what they're doing is because of our world, that they are actually in our world and they're responding to our world and doing something. Biblically, we went through it. That's called taking offense. And so we went through all of the scriptures, and you can go back and listen about taking offense. Well, what happens when you take offense? The first thing is you have to defend yourself. You have to defend your beliefs. That creates conflict. You have to make something big out of something small because you begin to have this need to be right and let everyone else know that they're wrong. And it creates this whole craziness. And so taking offense, taking things personally, we went all the way through that. And what we said is the key, the issue around that is that offense keeps us from seeing the truth. We read about how offense made them not receive Jesus. They took offense. This guy's not a rabbi. We know his sisters. This is the carpenter's son. It says that they took offense, and it says in Matthew 11:6 that they were hindered from seeing the truth because of that. In Matthew 13:56, we saw that it keeps away miracles. Having offense, taking things personally, keeps the miraculous out of your life. And it says, do not all his sisters live here amongst us? Where then did this man get all this wisdom? Who is this guy to be talking to us? Who is he to think that he can teach me? And it says, and they took offense at him. They were repelled, hindered, the Amplified Version says, from acknowledging his authority. They were caused to stumble. And of course, you know the famous saying Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor in his own hometown. But verse 58, I think it is, Matthew 13:58, says he did not do many works of power there because they'd taken his offense and because they had unbelief as a result. So the fact of the matter is infinite wisdom, infinite love was in their midst, in their present moment, that had the power to completely change their life, and they missed the miracle because they had taken offense. Often we're so caught up with what people have done to us. We're so busy still licking our wounds. We're so walking in unforgiveness that's one of those bandits, unforgiveness, that keeps us from really enjoying the present moment. You're still way stuck on what that person did to you. And you are rehashing it and living it over and over and over again. And it's keeping you a slave. It's keeping you in bondage. The other person's gone on. They're living their life. Your unforgiveness isn't hurting them at all. They've long forgotten about it. They're moved on. The only one being hurt is you. And so the answer to that, the antidote we found, is that love protects us from taking offense. It says in 1 Peter 4:8 that love covers a multitude of sins, that love disregards the offense of others. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps a matter separates even close friends. I want to talk taking things personally and being impeccable with your word. I want to couch it. I desire to couch it talking about gossip. It's really important. I've had gossip come to me twice in this past week. One of them about me. And gossip is one of these ways that we are not impeccable with our word. We're taking offense. And scripture says that gossip goes deep into the marrow of our bones, deep to our innermost parts. This causes so much destruction. It causes so much breakdown of relationship. It causes so much unnecessary pain. Now, fortunately, the person who people gossip to about me was mature. And I'm so thankful. I love it when I meet a mature individual because she came directly to me. She didn't make assumptions. She didn't take it personally. She came directly to me and asked. And that just not only ended it. And the answer when someone comes to you with gossip, and this is what I do because I had someone come to me with gossip about another person. I said, great, let's get that person on the line right now. I saw all the destruction. It had already affected about 10 people. This thing was spreading like wildfire. I said, let's get that person on the line right now. So if someone comes to you with juicy gossip, say, hey, you know what? I don't know anything about that because it's not me. How about if we get that person on the line? Let's talk through it right now. You will end gossip and you will stop so much of this sinning with our words. I encourage you to create a mandate for yourself. I encourage you to create a protocol how you will handle gossip. You know, in this book, he gives the example of gossip of someone that goes to university and doesn't like their teacher. And they go and gossip to someone coming that's about to take the class. So this person has a fresh new thinking. They're ready to take the class. And they already color it and say, that teacher is such a jerk. And you know what else? He did such and such and such. And watch him, because this will happen. Okay, now when they go in the class, do you think that they're getting, and they ended up not liking that class, dropping out of that class, flunking? Now, had the teacher even done any of that? And the answer is no. That's called gossip. Because it shapes the way you view and you think and you accept it as truth, and the person has no chance to defend themselves, and you don't even know if it's true, and it gets spread like a cancer. So I encourage you to have a mandate, a protocol, that when someone brings gossip to you, I immediately get the other person that they're gossiping about on the phone. I put an end to it right away. Let's just go ahead and get that person on the line right now, if that's possible. Otherwise, I shut it down and say, I can't really, that's not my business. I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry. And I end it. Do you have a way of stopping gossip? Gossip is killing so many innocent people, destroying their businesses, their reputation. Do you have a protocol what to deal with that? And love covers that multitude of sins and puts a stop to that. I shared with you the other answer of not taking personally is understanding that all it is opinion. And I shared with you Dr. Arlene's way that whenever she speaks, she's really wise. I can't wait till you come to Brain Leads of Women in the Bible in September that we're doing. That's going to be a great workshop. But she always couches it, and she'll say, in my brain's opinion, that's how she begins most sentences, in my brain's opinion. Well, she's real clear that that's all she has. Someone will say, well, that's just your opinion. And you're wise enough to say, of course, that's all I have. And you also are wise enough to know that the person speaking is simply sharing their opinion. And you give them the right to do that, and you can say that. Yeah, I appreciate your opinion. It doesn't make it truth. And it doesn't make it something you have to take offense. And it doesn't make something that you have to take personally. So this is so powerful. Now, I'd like to bring this now to a new perspective as we're talking about taking personally. Because next week we're going to move into not making assumptions. So I want to wrap up this not taking personally and being impeccable with our words. I want to bring that to a landing today. And I'm going to close with a very powerful new teaching on that. But I'd like to open up on the line. Any comments or questions or ahas or things on what we've shared so far on this? Yes, thank you for sharing. I so appreciate it.
For me, it was a big aha. I recently read the book, and there's one part where he says something, and what I visualize is that Jesus only went to the cross one time, and it was finished, it was done. And so even if we have messed up, originally the aha I got was, don't keep charging myself for the same thing I've already paid for. And don't keep bringing it up. If I've already did something, I've already paid the consequences, don't make myself keep reliving it. Don't keep punishing myself for it. But today when you talked about it, I got a different look at it, where not to charge someone for the same thing that they've done over and over, to like really let it go and release them in your heart. So if they've done something that has offended you, if they've done something that went against the word of God, that once you've spoken your truth, once you addressed it, let it go, because it's not fair for them to have already paid with forgiveness or whatever has taken place, and for you to constantly, every time you see them, bring them back up on the same charges, and as if they've never paid it, or that for the rest of their life, they'll keep paying it over and over again because you refuse to release them in your heart. So it was more about me letting them go, and and not making them pay for it over and over again.
That is so good, LaTanya. Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for reminding me of that, because he does talk about that in the book, about being impeccable. He really mentions we're the only creature. Okay, we talk about fairness and wanting to have this level of fairness, and he says where we're not fair, we're the only creature that when we apply punishment, he said, should be applied once, okay? And we're the only ones that punish ourselves over and over and over and over and over again for the same thing. And that's crazy when you think about it. How many times are you still beating yourself up about a previous mistake? How many times are you still criticizing yourself about something you did do or you didn't do or something from your past? How many times, or another person, you're reminding them? You see this in marriage a lot. This is what offense is it's punishing again and again and again when you take offense. And you see where someone in the marriage fell, maybe adultery, maybe something, and the other person brings it up again and again and again and again and again. So that, thank you. That is, I'm so glad. I remember thinking about it listening, and I'm so glad you remember to bring that up, because that is so important. How many times are you punishing yourself or another person for something that's long been done? I'm amazed. Some were talking like 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, still holding on to an old belief system and punishing. It's amazing. Awesome. Anybody else?
Hey, Brenda, it's Christine.
Yeah, oh good. You got on the line. I knew you had a story to share.
Yeah. So it goes along the line of not taking anything personally. And also, I just really had a great opportunity to demonstrate just non-attachment to outcomes this week. So, and the point I want to make first is that it's really helpful to decide beforehand that you're not going to be attached to a certain outcome. You know, so if you can be conscious enough of when you're, you know, just doing or working in your business and, you know, something comes up and it looks like it could go sideways, you know, decide beforehand how you're going to handle it. And this literally happened to me over the course of about 2 months. I put in just a tremendous amount of work. I truly went above and beyond average, you know, for what an agent would do for helping a couple. And initially I thought that it's a slam dunk, but then things kind of started to go sideways. And I decided at that point that, you know what, I may not close this deal, and you know what, I'm okay with it. I was starting to just see kind of some breakdowns in communication, and it involved a third party who was the one of my business partners in a different area, and but I just had peace through it, and then I got confirmation yesterday that they actually took my information, and they either went to another broker or went to the carrier direct and just completely cut me out of it. And you know, if that had happened like a year ago, I would have been just devastated. I would have been in tears and upset. And it's kind of funny because my business partner, he's just all been out of shape. And I mean, he like had me on the phone for almost an hour. He was just completely, and he wants to investigate it and just, you know, he's just going to war about this. And me, I'm like, I have so much peace, and I'm like glad that it's just done and I'm okay with it. And I told him, I said, you know, sometimes there's just people that you're not meant to work with, and that's okay. And so, you know, I don't take it personally. I realize that, you know what, these people are operating out of their own paradigm, and, you know, it's not logical, definitely. I mean, I presented some great options for them, and I even had the option for them that they choose, but for some reason they cut me out of it. But, you know, I'm okay with it. It's okay. And I, like, already moved on. So that was just a huge personal victory for me, and I felt like I applied a lot of what I learned.
That's awesome. And really, to step back and think about this from the bigger picture, part of the choice, when you look at the fruit, okay, you look at the fruit and you get back to the root, and you look at the fruit and you have to decide the fruit in your life, because remember we saw the power of life and death is in the tongue, and we eat the fruit thereof. That's the fruit in our life. So the fruit you can have frustration, anger, which is going to lead to anxiety or depression. If you hold it back and repress it, the anger, then it's going to go into depression. If you release it, you know, it's going to be in anger. So it's going to often translate into dis-ease. Suddenly you don't understand why part of your back is hurting, your neck is hurting, why you've got intestinal problems, why you're stuck and you're constipated, you know, stuff that we're teaching in the God, Health, and Me discovery stuff. But so you're going to have this physical side of dis-ease. You've got this emotional. So what you chose, the fruit, was peace and joy and love and not stealing from this moment. Whereas opposed to choosing the other way is sleepless nights and frustration and dis-ease. And when you just really step back, then you have to decide, is this really worth it? I mean, it's cutting years off my life. It didn't change the results, the outcome. And so a lot of this is just deliberate choice of saying, I am choosing to experience this moment so richly, so fully. I'm choosing to have joy and peace and love and abundance and fulfillment and truly enjoy my life beginning in this moment right now. And you made that choice, Christine, and peace was the result. Peace. And so I love that. And what I'd like to bring this thing to a landing in talking about it, I'd like to bring in another concept, which is the concept of allowing and resistance. Allowing and resistance. And this really, I teach this a lot in my manifest course. And when you understand how to manifest your dreams, goals, and desires quickly, okay? And part of the manifestation process of being able to manifest your dreams, goals, and desires is to understand that there is an overall current. In my mind, the picture in my imagination that I think of is the jet stream when you're flying. Think of the current of the jet stream. So when I fly to Atlanta or New Jersey, it is twice as fast, or it cuts off, it shaves off a good hour as opposed to when I fly back. And the reason is going with the jet stream. So it allows the airplane to use less fuel, it's more effortless, and you get there faster. Well, you can think about that in your life. If you would like to use less fuel, you're not just burning through anxiety and stress and your immune system and aging rapidly and so on, okay, by going against it. If you want to have that if you desire to have that ease, you go with the flow, you go with the jet stream. Now, in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 3 and 4, there's an interesting little statement in there, Ecclesiastes 10, verses 3 and 4. It says, even when he who is a fool walks along the road, his heart and understanding fail him. And he says of everyone and to everyone that he is a fool. So it's the fool walking down the road just calling everybody else a fool. Idiots, you know, they're driving down the road. Idiot, what are you thinking? That stupid idiot that did that. And so they're a fool, but they're busy resisting and calling everyone and everything a fool, this verse says. In verse 4, it says, if the temper of the ruler rises up against you, do not leave your place. And then the Amplified Version says, or show a resisting spirit. So here would be an opportunity to take something personally. You've got someone, a ruler, it could be your boss, it could be your husband, it could be your manager, whatever, and their temper rises up against you. So if someone gets angry at you, they took offense at something, they're really angry, and naturally you can take that personally, and then when you take things personally, you take offense, and now you move into the us versus them, the you versus me, and now you have to justify, now you have to spend your energy proving that you're right. Now you have to enter into an argument and disagreement. Now your blood pressure has to go up. Now blah, 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 blah. It says if the temper of the ruler, just think of this however you want to think of it, your parent, whoever pushes your button, if the temper of the ruler rises up against you, don't leave your place. See, what you talked about, Christine, you didn't leave your place. You didn't, I use that word place, your position. Don't leave your position. And then the Amplified says, or show a resisting spirit. You didn't get into resistance about this whole thing. And then it takes it all the way. It says, for gentleness and calmness, prevent or put a stop to great offenses. You slept that night, Christine. You didn't put your body in a state of dis-ease. You didn't shut down your immune system. You didn't constipate yourself. Do you understand? Because you chose the way of gentleness and calmness and not the way of resistance. This is why I believe Jesus, because people say, what was that all about? He was such a pacifist. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, I say to you, do not resist the evil man who injures you. If anyone strikes you on the right jaw or cheek, turn to him the other one too. How do you do that? How do you turn the other cheek figuratively? We're not talking about someone punching you. That probably isn't what happened. But they probably kicked you in the stomach or punched you with their words or their accusation or their gossip or their whatever. And you chose not to take it personally. And you chose to turn the other cheek because you had the grace to understand that something's going on in their life and you were going to choose the way of love that covers a multitude of sins and you were going to protect your own health and your own peace of mind by not resisting the evil man. Now, I'd like to read you from a book called Manifesting that is done... By Hicks. What's their names? It's Esther and Jerry Hicks. Okay, they have a book on. They were one of the original on the law of attraction and on manifesting. And I don't agree with their whole perspective and how they're doing things. So you guys don't need to send me letters and tell me where the book's wrong. But I do glean things from things, and their idea of explaining resistance and allowing is really nicely done. So I'm going to choose to pull that truth from it and make it my own. And so what it talks about in the terms of manifesting, in terms of achieving your goals, dreams, and desires quickly, if someone is not receiving what they're asking for, so you got to stop and say, okay, Jesus said, ask, believe, receive. Jesus said, if you ask, believing that you have received, you shall receive. Those are Jesus's words, period. Now, either Jesus spoke truth or he didn't. Either this is a reality or it's not. Either you believe the word of God or you flush it down the toilet and say it's not true. If you're going to believe it, you got to believe all of it. And Jesus said that if you, whatever you ask for, believing that you have received it, you will receive it. You shall have it. So in this book, it says if someone's not receiving what they're asking for, it's not because there's a shortage of resources. See, if you base it on lack, now you're basing it on a lie and illusion. There is no lack in the universe. I'll confess here, I almost brought lack into the miraculous. I was asking God, I needed several miracles. There's some things that have hit me and I needed several miracles. And I asked God for a miracle. And then I asked God, I said, would it be okay if I asked for another miracle? I actually need 3 miracles. And I really felt the Spirit of God speak to me. Why do you put lack when it comes to miracles? Why wouldn't you ask for multiple miracles on a daily basis? Why would you apply lack that you can only ask for one miracle? And I realized that this illusion of lack we take even into the spiritual dimension of how much we can pray for, how much we can ask for, how often we can ask, and how many miracles we can ask for. I'm confessing that just happened to me like 2 days ago. I'm making it real right now. I was bringing this, what it's talking about. It says if someone's not receiving what they're asking for, it's not because there's a shortage of resources. You think God has a shortage that he can't do more than one miracle? That I can't believe for more than one miracle, that I can't believe for a different miracle in 3 different areas of my life. It's not because there's a shortage of resources. It can only be that person is holding the desire is out of alignment with their own request. Remember, we're talking about impeccable. not violating yourself? Do you hear that? Do you see the congruency there? They're not receiving what they're asked for. It's not because there's a shortage of resource. There is no lack. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So it's not that. It can only be that the person asking, the person holding the desire, is out of alignment with their own request. So their mouth is saying one thing, but they're not believing it, expecting it. I was talking about manifesting. I was talking with a young man who wanted a desired a car. And so I began to ask him what he was doing to prepare for that car. Did he really believe that he was going to receive it? Because if you really believe that you're going to receive it and you're in alignment with what you're asking, you're going to create space. That's part of what I teach in my manifest program. And I'm going to do another manifest workshop shortly because the results are so tremendous. So if you're not part of prosperinallthings.com, if you haven't opted in so that you know what I'm teaching, I'm going to be adding some things here real soon. Make sure that you're receiving mail from me at prosperinallthings.com. Put your name on the right side. You get 5 free videos because I'm going to be teaching even more on this. I'm realizing that this is so effective and making such a difference when I teach people this. And so I'm going to get heavier into that. And so I talked to him about one of the aspects that I teach is how to create space. I said, are you really expecting that car? Are you expecting to get it? Because if I was, I'd be buying accessories for it. I'd be clearing the parking spot or the garage where I'm going to park it. I would, and I started talking about all the ways I would create space. See, when you don't really believe you're going to receive it, so many people go in and pray in the morning and they do it out of ritual, but they don't really expect to get an answer for prayer. It just makes them feel good. I meet more people that pray not expecting to get an answer at all. So it says if they're not receiving, it's not lack. It's because it's out of alignment with their own request. And it says your habit of resistant thought is the only thing that ever keeps you from allowing the things you desire. So if there's something you desire and you're not getting it, I guarantee you there's resistance. You're going against the jet stream. It says there is an unlimited stream of well-being. First of all, you have to work out in your own heart. Either God is good or he isn't. I'm of the firm conclusion that God is good and that everything he's working, Romans 8:28, is working together for my good. So I'm coming from the worldview that everything happening in my life is working for my good. And that's what this is saying. There's an unlimited stream of well-being and abundance of all manners of things available to you at all times. I believe when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, gave them dominion, taught them the principles of what I'm teaching you here, he said, you can have whatever it is you desire. So it says, an abundance of all manner of things available to you at all times, but you must be in alignment with the receiving of those things. You cannot stand in resistance of them and receive them at the same time. In my mind, I made the connection between being impeccable in what I'm asking with my word and what I'm asking, being impeccable, making sure that I'm in alignment, that I'm allowing and I'm not in resistance. It says you must be in alignment with the receiving of those things. You cannot stand in resistance and receive them at the same time. It says when you really, really, really want something, I'd put the word desire there, when you really, really desire something and you're thinking about your desire, and this is how you can gauge, this is your early detection system, is your emotions, and you're feeling pleasure from the thought. So you really, really desire something, you think about it, and immediately you have so much pleasure around that, which is one of the secrets of manifesting. Your current thought vibration is in alignment with your desire. We call that allowing. But when you really, really desire something, but instead you start feeling anger or fear or disappointment or whatever, the low frequency emotions, that means there's your early detection system. It means you're focused on the opposite of your desire. And in doing so, you're introducing another non-matching vibration to the mix. We call that resistance. So the degree of negative emotion that you're experiencing indicates, that's your early detection system, indicates the degree of resistance. This young man asked me why he manifests the things he doesn't desire. and why that's so easy to do. And I said, because that's what your predominant thought and emotions are around. You're focusing on what you don't desire. And that's your predominant thought. You see, you can have a desire in your heart, but if the vibration that you are in is not in alignment with that desire, you're going to attract the vibration that you're in. We are electrical beings. Quantum physics now has taught us every cell, every part of us. We are electrical beings. We are magnetic beings. We know that force radiates out from our heart. It's now been monitored somewhere between 8 and 12 feet coming out from the heart. You are emitting energy, magnetic, electromagnetic energy, EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies. You are emitting those. You are an electrical being. All you have to do is have a heart attack and know that. How do they start back your heart? Electrically. The brain shuts down. There's no electrical. Understand, you are an electrical being. Your thoughts are being communicated across all the neural pathway electrically. So you've got the chemical side of yourself, you've got the electrical side of yourself, and that electrical side of yourself is attracting that which is in agreement with it. That's why when you change your way of thinking, when you change your mindset, the people that you used to be able to hang out with, you won't be able to anymore. You'll just feel this uncomfort. You'll just feel this resistance. Well, you're no longer in alignment. You're on a different frequency. You'll get with someone that's operating on the same frequency and it'll be as natural as breathing for you. You'll feel so comfortable. Well, the same thing happens with our own desires. And so you're going to attract the vibration you're at, not the desire in your heart, if those don't match. That's what I'm talking about, allowing and resisting. And so part of that becomes changing and becoming skilled at changing your frequency. And that is a decision you're going to learn to be able to make. Let's see, I'm getting some questions being text. All of us are electric, but some of us throw off sparks. Thanks, Christine, for your comment. By the way, you guys can do that if you want to send me comments. That's fun, too. So part of it is learning very quickly how to change your frequency when you get in this place of resistance. This is thinking about your thinking and knowing how to change that very quickly. Whether you need to get up and move and dance, whether you need to put on music, whether you need to pray and worship, when you find yourself sinking into a vibration and a frequency that is causing you to get into dis-ease, that is pushing away the things you want, you have to be able to change that very quickly. So what this book says is identify your resistance. About 80% of what holds us back is internal, and the remaining 20% is in the outside world. And even then, it's our personal internal responses to what's outside that determines if we'll succeed. Your internal resistance controls what you can and cannot achieve in your life. Unless you identify what's holding you back, you'll never overcome it. And the really interesting thing is that most of your internal resistance is probably just old stuff you've dragged forward from childhood. It often has no real truth for who you are today. Superior achievers often ask one question when they're moving ahead. What am I doing or thinking that's holding me back? Demand an answer. You need to know how you're placing limitations on yourself. Ask focused questions. I put it in the positive sense, and that's why I begin each day with what's the single most important thing I can do today to advance in the direction of my goals, dreams, and desires. My coaching clients all know that well. They've got that ingrained in their brain, learning to ask the right questions. What's the single most important thing I can do right now, today, to advance in the direction of my goals, dreams, desires? It says when you really, really want something, desire something, and you're thinking about your desire and you feel pleasure from the thought, then your current thought vibration is in alignment with your desire. We call that allowing. When you really, really desire, when you really are feeling the opposite, the negative emotions come, anger, fear, disappointment. That means you're focused on the opposite of your desire. So your emotions can let you know that actually you're thinking about the opposite. You're resisting, you're not allowing. And so you're introducing another non-matching vibration to the mix. That's called resistance. That degree of negative emotion you experience lets you know the degree of resistance. So just another little twist as we bring this thing to a landing about being impeccable with our word. Begin to learn to listen to your body. Your body never lies. Look at your symptoms. Look at that if you have that. Begin to listen to your heart. Begin to listen to your emotions. Begin to get what's really going on for you, so that you can make these new agreements and you can go forward, like Christine just shared, with peace and joy, and begin to know that all things are working together for your good. So I pray that this has just really blessed you dealing with these two. I pray you think about it all week long and allow this to bring transformation for you. And we are going to start next week with a real big one. Wow, you are going to get some revelation like none other on don't make assumptions. You're going to be amazed, I believe, on all the places I am in my life, all the ways I end up making assumptions. And now I catch myself. Now I'm getting to the level of awareness that I go, oh my gosh, that's an assumption. How do I even know that that's true? How do I even know that that person was thinking that? How do I even know the reason they did that was the reason I'm saying? How do I even know that they're doing something? Because I thought, oh, the assumptions that we make is crazy. So we're going to conclude this one, and I bless you all to have an amazing week of being impeccable with your word, not violating yourself, not taking things personally, and walking in joy and abundance. It's been such a pleasure. It's been the high point of my week to have you on this call, although I've got two more real high points. So be sure you're catching the schedule and seeing the webinars going on this week. This is a big week. I bless you. I'm just thankful to have you in my life and that we get to go down this journey together. So may the Lord bless and keep you, and all your desires come true this week.